Hey everyone, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you are having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching in from. There were a couple tweets that went around recently in regards to investing in ICOs and the average investor or the retail investor, and I think it sparked a really interesting discussion. It started with some tweets that Ian Bellina had, and then I had a tweet in response to that, and then Donnie Crypto I've had on Crypto Happy Hour had an interesting tweet where he disagreed with me, and I appreciate the disagreement, and he actually made some fantastic points on top of that. So I want to talk a little bit about all of what it means and how it affects the quote-unquote hustle in the cryptocurrency world, because there are a lot of people out there that are looking at investing in cryptocurrency, putting money in cryptocurrency, and there's certain level of time commitments associated with that, and there's certain levels of research that you can do, but the more successful you are, I think, in a lot of cases with cryptocurrency, it's because you're doing more research and you're doing more work on the back end. So I want to talk about all of that, kind of how that goes down, because there were some fantastic points made throughout this process. So let's hop into it now. So kicking off the conversation, Ian Bellina, who some of you guys might follow on YouTube, maybe you don't, but he primarily focuses on ICO research or initial coin offering research. And he said this: the state of ICOs has changed in the last 2 months. Most ICOs are choosing to raise most funds from private sales or pre-sales. Possible upcoming regulations seem to be the cause. We will have to adapt and evolve and have a post-ICO exchange investing strategy as well. And I actually tended to agree with Ian in this statement. And I said, Ian's correct here. If you're an average investor, you're not going to get access to the best ICOs or pre-sales anymore. It's unfortunate, but due to the lack of regulatory clarity in the US and elsewhere. And a couple other people tweeted at me, and I'll get into Donnie Crypto's thoughts as well. And then I kind of tried to rephrase it a little bit, but I said, perhaps better phrased is, it's going to be, in quotes, much harder to get access. And it's going to have to come with significant research, hustle, networking. It won't be impossible for you to get access to these best ICOs or to these pre-sales, but it's not going to come without significant work. And I think that is one of the big statements here. And a lot of that was due to this tweet here from Donnie Crypto, who again I had on Crypto Happy Hour a while ago. And he said, you know, in response to my tweet, this is actually not true at all, to be honest. You just need to not be lazy and start researching your ICOs during the pre-ICO phase. That means going to meetups, signing up for mailing lists, and networking. Deals in this space are far more accessible than any equity-based deals. And I agree with a lot of what Donnie said here too. So I appreciate his input on this. And I think he's absolutely correct when he says that you can't be lazy in the ICO investing game at all anymore. If you're looking to invest in ICOs, or if you're looking to invest in projects before they hit the exchanges and get the best rates possible to invest in those projects, you really, really have to start early. Gone are the days where back in May, June, July, whenever it was, that you could simply go on to Smith & Crown or ICO Bench or any of these websites and see like, oh, okay, this company is having a main sale ICO in the next 2 weeks. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get my ETH ready. And then I'm going to go on to my Ether wallet the second the ICO happens, send my ETH, boom, we'll be good. You can't really do that anymore. You really need to be aware about these projects months and months and months in advance. And you need to do a significant amount of research up front during that ICO phase. And that, like Donnie said, that it does involve, you know, having to go to meetups or going to these conferences, because that's a lot of the places where people find out about these projects, is they will announce themselves at a meetup. They will go to the Bitcoin Miami conference. They'll go to some of these conferences and say, hey, you know, we're announcing that we're doing this. This is our project. This is what we're doing. You need to do that research. You need to get on the meetups. And as soon as you find out about these companies, no matter how early it is, sign up for their mailing list. Go on their email, sign up for the mailing list so that you hear if there's a pre-sale going on or anything like that, you're able to join up and you're able to keep your head just understanding what is happening as much in advance as possible. And the last thing, and I think the biggest thing here, is networking. And I've said this before, and I'll definitely say it again, we'll get into that even more a little bit later here, but networking is so massively crucial in this space. And I think it's probably been one of the most valuable aspects for me as I've continued to kind of broaden my horizons in crypto. And I think that regardless of how social you are or non-social you might be, networking in crypto and getting out there, even if it's just on Twitter and Telegram groups or anything like that, it's hugely important, hugely important. And the last thing Donnie says is deals in this space are far more accessible than any equity-based deals out there. And that is absolutely still the case. Saying that any pre-sale ICOs are equally as accessible as a traditional VC or equity-based deal, it's significantly easier to get into ICO-type deals than it is to get into something like a traditional equity deal. However, it's becoming increasingly more difficult to get into these ICOs. Like Donnie said, and like I agreed with, you have to do the research in advance. You have to really network and meet up with people prior to. You have to stay adept on the mailing list. You have to just keep a tab on everything, join those Telegram groups, join the Reddits, whatever it might be, so that you're aware of everything as it moves forward months in advance. So one thing that you might be thinking to yourself is, okay, I'm just a regular person. Even if I do all this research and meet all these people, how would I get into these opportunities? And one of the big things that I've kind of found out as I've moved forward is if you provide people value, they will give you value in return. And it sounds stupid and it sounds self-explanatory, but that really is the case. And the way I provide value might be different than how somebody else might provide value. I might be able to introduce somebody to somebody else. I might have a connection in the space to another YouTuber or somebody on Twitter or anything like that. The way you might provide value could be completely different. It could be legwork. It could be grunt work. It could be a number of different things. And this tweet here really goes to show it. And it was talking about doing work for some of these projects where somebody said, hey, I'd also recommend not only just doing research and networking and things like that, but maybe you could become a Telegram ICO, or I mean, excuse me, maybe you could become a Telegram admin for these projects that you like. It'll help get you noticed. You'll meet interesting people. So people have gone out there and they basically worked for free as Telegram admins to support projects that they like, get access to those companies, meet the founders and things like that. Doing anything like that, whether you're a Telegram admin or you're a Slack admin or you're supporting a team in some way or another, there's a lot of different things. And you have to kind of look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, what type of value can I provide? Do I know anybody in the space? Do I have any type of experience in marketing or anything like that? Try to figure out what type of value that you could provide, because that is often something that individuals can do where, hey, you know, if you have a certain skill set, you really like a project, you research it, you find out details about them, and then you send the CEO or the CTO or anybody a message and say, hey, I can bring this to the table, would love to work with your team on this in exchange for XYZ. That's the type of work that you have to do in a lot of respects nowadays, because the reason being is not only with regulatory uncertainty making pre-sales kind of the bulk of these ICOs, but these deals are getting more and more competitive. When people see certain projects 5, 10, 100xing, that means that there are more and more people interested in getting in on a project that can potentially pull a 5, 10, 100x, 50x, whatever it might be. So the bigger the gains, the more competitive it is to get into these projects. And while I understand it might not be the easiest thing in the world, you have to look at that and say, hey, is that worth the time and the effort? And in the case of something like a 10x gain on an ICO, that very well could be the effort if you are willing to put in that time, the research, and the effort. Now, one thing I will say is that in a lot of respects, doing this type of work, doing this type of research in advance, staying up to date, networking, building your own network, helping out, providing value to some of these, to some of these companies that are undergoing an ICO, whatever it might be, that could basically be a full-time job. I'm not going to sit here and say, that'll take you 5 minutes a week. You'll get access to the best ICOs, and then you will be rich in 5 minutes. It's probably not going to be the case. And for everybody, it's not always going to work out that way. But I will say, I will say this, you have to look at it and say, is it worth it for me? For some people, it will be worth it. If you can work for a couple extra hours a week, do a ton of research, try to find the best projects, scour Reddit, scour Twitter, try to find the best upcoming ICOs, do your research on them, see if they're legit, and then network your butt off to get maybe into a pre-sale or something like that. That could be worth the cost benefit if you have some money that you can put into that ICO, and that might turn out to be a really good thing for you. On the other end of the spectrum, maybe you have a full-time job, maybe you work your butt off all day, every day, and you don't have time to sit at home after you've gone through, you know, after you've worked and commuted and all that type of stuff, and you don't have time outside your family to spend a couple hours a night researching and networking and things like that. And if that's the case, that's fine. There's 0% wrong with that at all. I'm not going to pull a Gary Vee and tell you to get 3 hours of sleep and not do anything else. But you know, when it comes down to it, there's just kind of, you have to weigh that cost benefit for you in the long run. And while the tweets initially from Ian Bellina, myself, Donnie Crypto, really all mentioning initial coin offerings, ICOs, and research based upon that, participation in ICOs, the same concept, in my opinion, can really be applied across the board in cryptocurrency. Whether it's trying to find the, you know, next big project before it hits some of the larger exchanges, whether it is finding out about something like the ZCL Bitcoin private fork before that kind of became big, when that was sub $10 and is now at $160 plus in that range. Research and information, in my opinion, is your biggest advantage in the cryptocurrency space, really bar none moving forward. And the big takeaway here is that the more research, the more information that you have, the better off you're going to be. And as this space becomes more and more mature, as the cryptocurrency investing space becomes more and more mature, it's going to be harder and harder to gain those returns, and it's going to take more and more and more effort. And going back to that, the initial kind of portion of ICOs where anybody could throw money into an ICO, they were all announced pretty early on. It was pretty easy to find those ICOs, and there was no KYC or pre-sales really or anything like that. Just a main sale, just an ETH address, boom, send it, you're good. Not a ton of effort other than knowing, hey, this is going down at 10 a.m. Eastern time, XYZ day. That's all you really needed to know and you needed to do, and you just had to have your ETH ready. Now there's a ton more research going on up front, and that's going to continue to happen and happen. And if you want to, not to be too harsh, but if you want to sit and complain about just the increasing amount of workload going in, a lot of it is due to people that are treating this now as a full-time job, doing it. More and more people are doing this, investing and research. They're doing it professionally. And when you have people that are doing this 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, whatever it might be, that is going to make it harder for anybody who's trying to do this 30 minutes a week or an hour a week or something like that. And it's going to diminish those returns because there are more people in the space that are researching. So it really is important if you are trying to get crazy outsized returns. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, like I said before, you only have to do as much work as you think needs to be done. But just be aware, at least in my opinion, that the space is getting more and more competitive as more people are doing this professionally, as more institutional investors are getting into it, as more hedge funds and more VCs are getting into the space. It's getting more and more crowded, and there's only X amount of opportunities, and there are a lot more dollars. So there are a lot more dollars trying to get into those opportunities than is currently available. So it's, how can you provide value to somebody? Who do you know that might be able to provide you access to that? So I would just continue to network your butt off. Go to as many meetups, go to as many events as possible, things like that, because that is where you're going to find the bulk of your opportunities, from your network, from those meetups, from those conferences, from things like that. And when you do find those opportunities, just make sure that you do a ton of research on them. And if you feel like the opportunity is right, jump on it, make a big move. Hopefully this video was helpful for you, just in terms of understanding at least what I see are some interesting trends. Shout out to Ian Bellina for some really solid thoughts. Shout out to Donnie Crypto for disagreeing with me and having probably better initial thoughts than I had. So shout out to Donnie Crypto for that as well. But I appreciate the time. If you are new to the channel by any chance, hit that subscribe button and the notify bell there as well if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast, I would love for a rating and a review. That would be very much appreciated. Certainly helps to get the podcast out to more people. Thank you so much for your time. Crypto Bobby signing out. I hope you have a good one. Peace.